Lecture topic, welcoming the month of fasting.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كم من صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, Allah Rabbul Izzat has created man with a body and a soul. The body being external, material, physical and tangible. While the soul being spiritual, invisible and intangible and heavenly. So there are two components to the human body. There is the outer casing, there is the external body, which is material, it's earthly. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. It is from the earth that we have created you, and it is to the earth that we return you. Hence, the defects of the physical body can be seen to by the things of this world. If a person has a scar, if a person has an illness, there are so much that the medical world has to offer. From time to time, we are shown pre-surgery, post-surgery, pre-orthodontics, post-orthodontics, pre-laser, post-laser, pre-cosmetic surgery, post-cosmetic surgery, that there can be this unique transformation that could take place on a person, anti-aging products, and the list continues. In essence, the body is physical, it's tangible, it's material, its cure is dependent on the things of this world through conventional medication, or through traditional medication. The soul is invisible, it is intangible, it is heavenly, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Hence, the cure of the soul itself is heavenly. The problem the world is facing today is the soul has become restless. And we are feeding the body with antidepressants. It's just like if a person has a pain on his face or on his cheek, and you are applying an ointment to his hand, it just doesn't correspond. It just doesn't make logic. Wallah, the world in its entirety today is on the brink of depression, if not entered into depression. Study one of the greatest factors that contribute to suicide today. A standard diagnosis in the life of any person, he is suicidal. Across the age gender, across the boundaries of any country, depression has become the order of the day. I often say, leave alone becoming a victim to any circumstances which might justify depression. The very fears that lurk in the mind of every man is sufficient depression. So one is, you are a victim to a crisis. You were mugged. You were robbed. You became ill. You were diagnosed with a condition. You lost a beloved one. We might argue justifiably this warrants depression. I'm saying take it a stage beyond. The fears that are ever lurking in relation to the crush of the economy, in relation to health, in relation to my job, these fears alone have set us back and created depression. So my point is, the soul is heavenly and the treatment of the soul is heavenly itself. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. It is only the heavenly medication, and that is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is going to bring solace and comfort to this restless soul. Now, what is the dawn of the month of Ramadan? It provides you and I the platform to nourish this impoverished soul. The soul has been malnourished. It has been neglected and abandoned for the greater portion of 11 months. Can you imagine how restless it is? Let's apply the analogy on the physical body. If a person is homeless, he lacks shelter, he has no food for 11 months, he's eating hand to mouth, living below the bread line. Can you imagine the amount of illnesses that he would be susceptible to? How prone he would be to a host of maladies, lack of nutrition, lack of sanitation, lack of adequate shelter, etc. Over the years, the soul has been neglected and abandoned. In terms of medical terminology, if we may coin a phrase, we have a tumor in our soul which is malignant. A tumor is malignant, so do they say. It's not benign. It's spreading across the soul. It has covered and enveloped the entire soul. How do we treat the soul of ours? Where do we bring comfort in our soul? If the answer to the satisfaction of the soul were the things of this world, then why do the lives of celebrities end in such a dull way? Why do the lives of these wealthy, prominent, affluent, high-profile people get wasted in drugs and evil and womanizing and gambling? If what the world had to offer rescued them of this crisis, liberated them from these clutches, then why do they resort to these things? The scholars tell us the example of the soul and the body is pretty much like a horse and a rider. Now, if you've ever had the privilege of riding a horse, and we know we've been exhorted in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Al-khaylu ma'qudun binawasih al-khayr." Allah has attached goodness to the forelock of a horse. Allah swears the oath of a horse in the Quran, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا. As it gallops, as it trots, as it causes the dust to fly up and causes the sparks to emerge, فَوَسَّطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَا, penetrating the ferocious battle. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. In the terminology of Arabic, what we refer to as the jawab of the oath, the jawabul qasam, Allah swears the oath of the horse, and Allah says, I conclude by saying, man is very ungrateful. And Allah says, reflect over this horse, for the sake of its master, in the spirit of loyalty for a man who has given it nothing more than a stable, hay and water. This animal which is inferior to you endangers its own life to bring victory to its master. O man, what is it that you cannot do for me what this horse does for its master? If you have ever sat on the back of a horse, you would have known and realized, and its basic facts about horse riding, that the horse initially would jostle, the horse initially would shake, and the horse would test the ability of confidence of the rider. If at this point you succumb and you display any weakness or feebleness, the horse senses this weakness of the rider. Now you are a dummy on the back of this horse, and the horse will literally ride you. You are a dummy there, the horse will pull the shots and dictate the moves. But when the horse jostles and shakes and provokes and is rebellious, and you grip your reins firmly and you show your authority that I will ride you and you will comply, now this horse is yours. Even a child at the age of 5, if he has control, he will control this horse. And if it's a man at the age of 50 and he doesn't have control, then the horse will ride him. He will dictate to the horse when you will eat, when you will sleep, and when I will ride, and at what speed, and how swiftly you will move. In the very same way, the human ego will provoke you. The human ego will incite you. And this battle will be fought. Either you succumb, and your ego rides you for the rest of your life. Today it is a world of people who are slaves unto their ego. Either you succumb when the ego provokes you. The ego might provoke you to go online chatting. The ego might tempt you to haram dealings. The ego might tempt you to seductive voices. The ego might tempt you to a host of crimes. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, your soul invites you to repentance. Wa hawakum yamna'ukum min at-tawbah. And your ego prevents you from doing that. فَلَوْ جَهَّزْتُمْ جَيْشَ عَزْمٍ فَرَّ الْعَدُوُّ. If you are prepared to mobilize the army of conviction and determination, if you are prepared, he uses the metaphor and the analogy of mobilizing the army of conviction, determination, willpower, فَرَّ الْعَدُوُّ. The enemy will have no choice but to submit and to surrender. So this is the analogy that the scholars have given. Now we got to look into our lives. Am I a dummy rider on the back of this horse? And this horse dictates to me what I will eat, how I will eat, where I will devour, what I will consume? Or am I the actual rider and I will discipline my ego? A life of discipline in essence is the life of a believer. And the long and short of the noble month of Ramadan is to once again bring about the moral compass of the life of a believer, to bring his day onto pattern and rhythm, a point of reflection and introspection. In the momentous month of Ramadan, Allah has made many a lawful things unlawful and forbidden, which per se is lawful, but for a period of time it has become unlawful. That is obviously eating, drinking, and satisfying your needs and your desires from dawn to dusk. Scholars tell us, when the lawful has become unlawful, can you imagine how unlawful would be those things which are permanently forbidden? The likes of abusing of your sight, this is permanently forbidden. The likes of abusing your hearing ability, the likes of using vulgarity, the likes of usurping, etc., so on and so forth. These things are not conditionally prohibited. They are permanently forbidden. So what is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ أُدَلِّ النَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It's time to energize the soul. It's time to revive the soul. So one person came to a scholar and he said, what is the matter with our scholars today? They give and deliver sermons, but it doesn't have a positive impact on people. We listen to him, it entertains us for a period of time, but ultimately it doesn't yield the necessary transformation. A profound answer was given by that scholar, Jazahullahu anna khayr al-jazah. He said, "Inna ulama as-salaf kanu ayqadha wa kana an-nas niyama fanabbaha al-ayqadhu an-niyam wa ulama zamanina niyamun wan-nas mauta." He said, in the previous times the scholars were active, they were vibrant, they were dynamic, while the masses were sleeping. So the scholars came and revived and awakened the sleeping masses. But now we have stooped so low that the scholars are asleep and the masses are dead. The scholars are asleep and the masses are dead. So how can a sleeping person revive a dead man? That is exactly what has happened to our condition, how we have deteriorated. We have forgotten and become oblivious of the condition of our soul. Let's reflect, in the midst of everything, after owning and possessing, why is there this vacuum? Why is there this restlessness? Insomnia is a medical condition that is only in the increase in the world. What is it that has brought about these restless nights? Medically, they will tell you, you need an orthopedic mattress, my brother. You need to support your upper back. You need to support your side. You need to pop a pill. You need to have this. You need to have that. But on the reverse, all these things only cloud it, only compound it. The restlessness is of the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us in this month to reform and energize the soul. What does the Arabic poet say? At-tawbatu min al-dhanbi kashurbi al-dawa'i lil-alili wa rubba 'illatin kanat sababu as-sihha. The month has dawned where I will now be giving my soul an antibiotic. I will now be giving my soul an antibiotic. So what does he say? At-tawbatu min al-dhanbi kashurbi al-dawa'i lil-alili. To repent from a life of sin is pretty much like giving the soul medication. وَرُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ الصِّحَّةِ. And on a disguised note, many a times illness leads to your cure. Many a times an illness leads to your cure. A person lacks discipline in his life, he's a chain smoker. And I have said often in my talks that the world has become so addicted that the tobacco industry can boldly print the harms of tobacco yet not fear a drop in sales. Why? Because he knows our customers are addicted. Not to be sold to anyone below 18. Beware, tobacco kills. Not for pregnant women. All these harms, anti-sentiments, for legal purposes so that there's no recourse against them, whatever the litigation might be, that's an argument of its own. My point of debate is, we are so addicted that they can boldly print the harm and not fear a drop of sales because they know these people have been consumed. Hence the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ. I visited one person in the clinic not too long ago back home in South Africa. And as I was going in the hospital, a particular patient was being wheeled on his clinic bed from one ward to another. A rather appalling sight, a rather painful and traumatic sight, with a drip in one hand and being treated and barely having two fingers, being wheeled from one ward to another smoking away. I said, now this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوهُ. If a person comes and tells you a mountain has moved, tell him I believe you. But if a person comes and tells you a man has abandoned an evil practice, tell him I don't believe you. The moving of a mountain is easier than to abandon an evil practice. وَرُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ الصِّحَّةِ. So what are we doing? We are now treating the soul. We are now giving it some fluids. We need to hydrate the soul so that the soul starts pumping and it becomes active. Because the external body is not the real human. It evolves. It's changing. You look at your baby photo and you will argue if that was you or not, leave alone anything else. So this is turning and changing, and ultimately the insects of the earth, they consume our casing, our external body. It is the soul that moves on. Kalla inna kitab al-abarari lafi illiyin wa ma adraka ma illiyun. Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin wa ma adraka ma sijjin. A verse of Surah Mutaffifin. Verily the records and the souls of the pious are in illiyin. Scholars of tafsir say it is a location in the upper heavens, while the souls of the wicked dwell beneath the earth. This is what the Mufassirin have said. Low, deep down into the ground. These are the respective abodes where the souls will move on. The actual place is the soul. لَمَّا أُصِيبَ إِخْوَانُكُمْ بِأُحُدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ أَرْوَاحَهُمْ فِي أَجْوَافِ طَيْرٍ خُضْرٍ. When your brothers were martyred in the battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah took their souls. The key word, the soul. When a person enters into sakarat, into his fatal illness and is about to leave this world, and he passes away, the hadith says, an angel descends. And before you can wrap his physical body, the angels have wrapped his soul. مَعَهُ كَفَنٌ مِّنْ أَكْفَانِ الْجَنَّةِ وَحَنُوتٌ مِّنْ أَحْنَاطِ الْجَنَّةِ. His soul is wrapped up and the soul is taken to the heavens. When the great giant Imam al-Shafi'i Muhammad ibn Idris rahimahullah was in his fatal illness, Imam Muzani comes to visit him and he says, "Oh Shafi'i, how is your soul at this moment? Now it's not the time of your physical body. I have a headache, I have a backache, I've got a scar here. How many a youth, for the sake of one scar or pigmentation on the face, would subject themselves to aggressive medication for cosmetic reasons? Leave alone the harms on the soul, imagine the harms on the physical body. But just to have that beautiful face, that striking appearance, they go to such extremes. Anyway, Imam Muzani comes to Imam Shafi'i, "How is your soul at this moment?" He says, "Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila, wa li ikhwani mufariqa, wa li ka'si al-maniyyati shariba, wa li su'i a'mali mulaqiya, wa 'ala Allahi warida. La adri ruhi tasiru ila al-jannati fa uhanni'uha aw ila an-nari fa u'azziha." Thumma ansha'a yaqul, "Walamma qasa qalbi wa dhaqat madahibi, ja'altu ar-raja minni li'afwika sullama, ta'azamani dhanbi, falamma qarantuhu bi'afwika rabbi kana 'afwuka a'zama." He said, "Oh Muzani, asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila, I am on the verge of parting from this temporary abode. Wa li ikhwani mufariqa, and I will have to bid farewell to all my colleagues. Wa li ka'si al-maniyyati shariba, and I will have to drink from the bitter vessel of death. Wa li su'i a'mali mulaqiya, and soon I will have to contend with the evil consequences of my actions. Wa 'ala Allahi warida, and like it or not, I will appear before my Allah. La adri ruhi tasiru ila al-jannati fa'uhanni'uha." At this stage, it is premature for me to pronounce any verdicts. I'm not sure if my soul has been given the green light to go to paradise, that I may congratulate it. "Aw ila an-nari fa'u'azziha," or perhaps my Lord has decided otherwise, that it is destined for hell, and then I will have to console it. Who is saying this? Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. La adri, the focus now is the soul. La adri ruhi tasiru ila al-jannati fa'uhanni'uha, aw ila al-nari fa'u'azziha. And then he teared and he said, وَلَمَّا قَسَى قَلْبِي وَذَاقَتْ مَذَاهِبِي جَعَلْتُ الرَّجَى مِنِّي لِعَفْوِكَ سُلَّمًا. Oh my Lord, it is my last moments, and there isn't much I can do. My hope is, and the ladder that I have, is your kindness, your clemency, your forgiveness, and your pardon. تَعَظَمَنِي ذَنْبِي. When I glance one side, my sins are colossal, they haunt me. And then I turn my gaze at your mercy, and somehow I am convinced your mercy is far greater than my sins. I am optimistic that your mercy will have the better of me. So, وَرُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ الصِّحَّةِ. On a disguised note, sometimes your sickness leads you to cure. So what happened? You were negligent of your health. You were a chain smoker. You were a compulsive smoker, and ultimately you got admitted, you lost a particular lung due to excessive smoking. When you ended up in a clinic, you were admitted in a clinic, you now realize the repercussion and the severe consequences. So you did not only abandon smoking, but you brought your life onto a strict discipline code. So on a disguised note, while we're not advocating smoke to end up there, but what we are saying is, on a disguised note, your illness ultimately played out beneficially for you. We say this to the sinner, and we're not saying it to anyone to provoke him to sin. If you have sinned, my brother, which both of us have. If you've lost a lung spiritually, which both of us have. If you had an amputated organ of your soul, which both of us have spiritually, I really wonder if our souls have anything less. Be it as it may, we have now been admitted into the clinic of Ramadan. We have now been admitted into ICU under intensive care. While we are sitting and they are working on us, the malaika are working on us, all the evil products have been taken away, the devils have been shackled. Let us pledge to Allah, now we will bring our life under discipline. Now we will bring our life under discipline. Let me tell you what is awaiting you as we draw closer and the great month dawns upon us. Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of the narration in Kitab al-Tawwabin in page 82 and 83. Kana fi bani Israel shabbun musrifun ala nafsihi. In the previous nations, there was a youngster who had transgressed all the limits of Allah. He had committed every crime, perpetrated every offense, indulged in every vice that you possibly can think of. فَأَخْرَجُوهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ لِسُوءِ أَعْمَالِهِ. People expelled him from the locality due to his evil habits. It was contagious. It was affecting and polluting the people around him. So they expelled him from the community. فَلَمَّا حَذَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاتُ. Ibn Qudama's narration, Kitab al-Tawwabin, when he was on the verge of dying, and he passed away in a very strange place, away from where the common people were living. حَذَرَتْهُ الْمَوْتُ فِي خِرْبَةٍ عَلَى بَابِ الْبَلَدِ. In a bit of an isolated area. أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى مُوسَى. Allah sent wahi to Musa alayhi salam, inna waliyyan min awliyai hadarathu al-wafatu. O Musa, one of my beloved friends and servants have passed away. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to Musa alayhi salam wahi? Inna waliyyan min awliyai hadarathu al-wafatu. One of my selected servants have passed away. فَأَحْضِرْهُ. I instruct you to attend his funeral. وَغَسِّلْهُ. And Musa, with your hands you wash his body. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ. And you perform the prayer upon him. وَقُلْ لِمَنْ كَثُرَ عِصْيَانُهُ يَحْذُرُ جَنَازَتَهُ لِأَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. And make a public proclamation that whoever wants to be forgiven, they must attend the funeral and consider themselves forgiven. Whoever wants to be pardoned, they must attend the funeral and they will be pardoned. وَحْمِلْهُ إِلَيَّ لِأُكْرِمَ مَثْوَاهُ. And then hand him over to me so that I can receive him and provide his hospitality. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made the announcement, and people started streaming in droves, in scores, in multitudes. In taghfir, taghfir illahumma jamma, wa ayyu abdin laka la alimma. Oh my Lord, when you pardon, I implore you pardon all. I haven't yet found a soul who hasn't transgressed against you. I haven't yet found a soul who hasn't transgressed against you. People came in scores and multitudes. فَلَمَّا حَذَرُوهُ عَرَفُوهُ. When they came and they seen him, they said, هَذَا الَّذِي أَخْرَجْنَاهُ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. Musa, you said Allah's friend, this is the wicked, the wretched, the evil, the sinner. This youngster committed any and every crime. فَتَعَجَّبَ مُوسَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Musa was rather astonished. فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى مُوسَى صَدَقُوا وَهُمْ شُهَدَائِي. Musa, they correct. And what they said is precisely the reality. But let me tell you, things turn differently in the 11th hour. Things turn differently in the critical moment. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ حَذَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاتُ. At the very moment of death, because he was isolated, he was expelled, he was banished from society and community. And as the angel of death set in, as the Arabic poet said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ بِالطَّبِيبِ كَيْ يُعَالِجَنِي وَلَمْ أَرَى الْيَوْمَ الطَّبِيبَ يَنْفَعُنِي سَيَخْرُجُ الرُّوحُ مِنِّي فِي تَغَرْغُرِهَا وَصَارَ رِيقِي مُرًّا حِينَ غَرْغَرَهَا. He said, I'm in my fatal illness. He's speaking on behalf of the dying person. And I can hear the family members panicking and they say, call the doctor and call the surgeon. But I cannot speak to them. It's not my body that's sick, it's my soul that's sick. The poet is saying. And they're trying to resuscitate me. And they're trying to put me on the life support. And they're trying to inject me. And they're trying to give me this. وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ بِالطَّبِيبِ كَيْ يُعَالِجَنِي وَلَمْ أَرَى الْيَوْمَ الطَّبِيبَ يَنْفَعُنِي. I know it's my soul, but I'm not in a position to communicate. As the Quran say, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومَ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبَصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. An open challenge the Quran throws out. If you claim to be in authority, then return the departing soul back to the body. Return the departing soul back to the body. As simple as that. If you feel your know-how, your science, your logic, your medicine, your research, your innovation, you're so much closer, by all means. We've heard of science endeavoring and trying to do everything. We haven't yet heard, and we will never hear, that we're on the verge of inserting life into the soul. Even when they do their artificial insemination, the embryo has to be planted back inside. Nature must take its course. The soul comes heavenly from the Almighty. Nowhere else. لا أدري روحي تصير إلى الجنة فأهنئها أو إلى النار فأعزيها. So what does the poet say? وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ بِالطَّبِيبِ كَيْ يُعَالِجَنِي وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ بِالطَّبِيبِ كَيْ يُعَالِجَنِي وَلَمْ أَرَى الْيَوْمَ الطَّبِيبَ يَنْفَعُنِي سَيَخْرُجُ الرُّوحُ مِنِّي فِي تَغَرْغُرِهَا وَصَارَ رِيقِي مُرًّا حِينَ غَرْغَرَهَا وَاشْتَدَّ نَزْعِي وَصَارَ الْمَوْتُ يَجْزِبُنِي مِنْ كُلِّ عِرْقٍ بِلَا رِفْقٍ وَلَا هَوَنِي. And mercilessly my soul is been abducted. And mercilessly my soul is been removed until my body lie before them. And then, وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَصَلُّوا صَلَاةً لَا رُكُوعَ لَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْحَمُنِي. I was very meticulous on my garb. I was very, very selective on the type of clothes I wore. But here they clad me with clothes that has no sleeves. And they perform a prayer in which there's no bowing or prostration. Anyway, they said, "Oh Musa, this is the very person." Allah said, "Oh Musa, let me tell you, in the very critical moment of death, nadhara yumnan wa yusra. This man was alone. He looked to the right. He looked to the left. Falam yara hamiman wala qariba. He found no relative. He found no one to console him. Farafa'a basarahu ilayya. He lifted his gaze to the heavens. And he said, Allah, I am dying alone. Allah, nobody is close to me. Society expelled me. Community shunned me. People mocked me. Ilahi abdum min ibadik yamutu fi baladik. Oh my Allah, one of your bondsmen dying on your land. Law alimtu anna azabi yazidu fi mulkik. Wa afuka minni yanqusu min mulkik. Lama sa'altuka al-maghfira. Allah, if you were a king like other kings, meaning forgiving me would reflect weakness and will drop your greatness, and punish me will elevate your grandeur, then I wouldn't have mastered the courage to ask you to forgive me. You are at the pinnacle of glory, my Lord. If you forgive me or punish me, it doesn't elevate you or drop you in any way, but it rescues me permanently. Musa, he asked me this with such a heart, my mercy came into motion. And I forgave him. His condition was so pitiful, Musa. وَلَا عِزَّتِي لَوْ سَأَلَنِي فِي أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. If he had to extend his request and represent the sinners of the world, I wasn't going to let him go unaccepted. Every sinner would have been forgiven. I'm saying that is the clinic where we have been admitted. And this is the kind Allah that we have been given the opportunity with. If you read in the previous nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a tale in Surah Buruj. The incident is very long. It appears in Muslim Sharif, and I'm not going to go into the details. One point which Ibn Kathir has highlighted in his tafsir, and I want to draw your attention to that. In the previous nations, some people had dug trenches, and they had mercilessly burnt the servants of Allah in that fire. The Quran says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, by the heaven with stars. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, the promised day, the day of Qiyamah. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, shahid, the day that presents, mashhood, on which people are presented. Shahid, by the explanation of the hadith, the day of Friday. Mashhood, the day of Arafah, because the pilgrims converge and congregate on the plains of Arafah. Qutila ashabul ukhdud, woe be to the people who dug the trenches. An-nari dhatil waqood, which they had ignited with massive flames. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. Understand the horrendous nature of the crime of these people. They dug these trenches and then they hurled the friends of Allah into the trenches. Amongst these people, the narration of Muslim, was a suckling mother with her suckling child. And when she came there because of her faith, she was subjected to this blazing fire. So in her sentiments of motherhood, for a moment she was debating, do I go or do I succumb to pressure? And as she was standing there and she was reluctant, the hadith goes on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this baby, this infant spoke and said, Ya umma, isbiri fa innaki ala al-haqqi. Oh my mom, what's the hesitation? What's the reluctancy? Why are you skeptical? It might be the blazing fire today, but by Allah, it's the peaceful gardens of Jannah tomorrow. It might be the blazing fire today, but by Allah. Remember my brother, it comes in the hadith of targhib. On the day of Qiyamah, when the dwellers of Jannah will be in Jannah, Allah make us amongst them. An announcer will announce, أين الذين ينزهون أسماعهم وأبصارهم عن مزامير الشياطين ميزوهم ميزوهم. Where are those people who enjoyed the melodious voices of musicians? Where are those young men who love the seductive voices of women but exercise restraint? Who endured and persevered, bring them one side. Today Dawood will recite the Zabur and they will comfort their ears with Dawood's recital. Can we imagine that privilege? Anyway, these people's crime was so severe, they dug these trenches. The friends of Allah were dropped in. Amongst that, a mother with her nursing child. In Bayanul Quran, under this ayah, it is mentioned, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. They witness with the naked eye the atrocities that were meted out against the Muslims. In Bayanul Quran, the Mufassir writes, there is a subtle indication in this verse to their hard-heartedness. They were not seeing footage. Sometimes you see footage of atrocities, and you just got to move away from that meal if there is any fiber of morality in you. At times you see how children are being subjected to brutality and you look at this and honestly the sleep is gone and you cannot eat and you ask yourself, do you want to live on with life? When in other parts of the world this is the price that is happening somewhere. These people were not seeing footage. They literally seen the flame and they literally seen people being roasted. It takes a lion's heart not to soften. They looked at this. They enjoyed it. They didn't wink an eye. They didn't frown. They didn't make an attempt to stop it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about their punishment in Akhirah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Verily those people who subjected the believing male and female to to the torment of the blazing fire in this world. Now here comes the point that I want to highlight of Ibn Kathir. He says, Hasan Basri's narration is mentioned in Ibn Kathir. Hasan Basri says, I marvel at the clemency of Allah. I marvel at the pardon of Allah. When speaking about such criminals, Allah didn't say those who burn the pious, for them is a severe punishment. Allah says those who burn the pious and then they died without repenting. Meaning even if they repent, the doors are open. Hasan Basri's quotation is mentioned in Ibn Kathir. He said, when I read this verse, I cried. I said, my Lord, what is your pardon? And how far reaching is your clemency? People who witnessed the burning of your beloved servants, that witnessed the roasting of babies, even you inviting them towards tawbah and forgiveness. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. For them is the punishment of fire, and for them is a blazing punishment in Akhirah. That is, if they die without repentance. Hence, this great month is inviting us. It is a month of sale, where we try and maximize and capitalize and draw proximity and closeness and nearness unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was it not that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerted his entire life in worship? And in Sha'ban he intensified his preparation. And in Ramadan he went greater into it. And in the last 10 days he intensified it even more and more. This is the pattern to go closer and closer. I want to share with you a dialogue between two great scholars in terms of reforming the soul. My theme is, it's the time to energize the soul. It's the soul that is restless. And the soul's treatment is heavenly. It's not an earthly property. It's not a material thing. It's not tangible. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have come to you and they have asked you the reality of the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say unto them, the soul is something that come in existence with the will of Allah. If you see the academic write-up of the scholars of tafsir under the soul, it's so intricate, it's so mind-boggling, it's so amazing, it's so wholesome. Very little has been given to man in terms of discovering the depth of the soul. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Say unto them, you have very little knowledge. You will not able to fully appreciate the soul. Be it as it may, the dialogue is between Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik and Salma ibn Dinar. Salma ibn Dinar, who's better known as Abu Hazim. So Sulaiman was the king of the time. Abu Hazim was the pious person of the time. One day Abu Hazim was in the locality, so the king said, I need to ask you some questions about the human soul. I want to get, you know, understand the realities, the world, the mysteries. Where does it exist? How does it originate? Tell me more about the soul. And how do we improve and nourish the soul of ours? He said, Hatiha wallahu al-musta'an. Go for it, and may Allah Ta'ala inspire me with the correct answer that I can provide to you. He said, مَا لَنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. مَا لَنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. We find that as humans, we are very apprehensive to the life of Akhirah. What is the matter? So Abu Hazim said, again, it boils down to the very same thing. لِأَنَّنَا عَمَّرْنَا دُنْيَانَا وَخَرَّبْنَا آخِرَتَنَا فَنَكْرَهُ الْخُرُوجِ مِنَ الْعَمَارِ إِلَى الْخَرَابِ. We have built abodes for our physical life. We have not built abodes in Akhirah for our soul. So no one wants to forsake a developed, populated location and go live in a barren, isolated place. We haven't prepared anything in terms of the soul. He said, okay, you are quite correct. Ardafa yaqul, layta shi'ri ma lana 'inda Allahi ghadan. He said, O Abu Hazim, I wonder when I appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will my case unveil? How will Allah pass a judgment on me? I'm very, very curious to know. So Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi said, you don't have to wait till akhirah, I will give you the answer in this world. أعرض عملك على كتاب الله تجد ذلك. You can weigh your actions in the light of the Quran and you'll get a clear answer. So I said to him, be more specific. That's a bit ambiguous and vague. You want to be more explicit. Which verse are you making reference to? He said, I'm referring to the verse, إِنَّ الْأَبَرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. The righteous will dwell in paradise, the wicked will reside in hell. You know where you are, your inner feeling will tell you, your gut feeling, you know where it is. I said, yeah, you're quite correct. فَأَيْنَ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Where is the mercy of Allah? So he replied, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The mercy of Allah is with the righteous and the pious. I said, كَيْفَ الْقُدُومُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. What would be the bureaucracy, the formality of appearing before Allah in a form of an interview? When Allah will conduct the interview in terms of every person, how would the procedure unfold? He said, أَمَّا الْمُحْسِنْ فَكَالْغَائِبِ يَقْدَمُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَأَمَّا الْمُسِيءُ فَكَالْعَبْدِ الْعَابِقِ يُسَاقُ إِلَىٰ مَوْلَاهُ سَوْقًا. With regards to a man who nourished his soul, who protected his soul, one great scholar said, the one who will live his entire life, like how he lives in Ramadan. We know a person disciplines himself, brings some degree of piety into his life. And this again, in my honest opinion, is a clear indication of the commitment and the willpower man has. When you have physically, mentally, psychologically programmed yourself, then Ramadan kicks in and you fit into that rhythm. Unfortunately, you take your dishwasher, quick rinse, thorough rinse, intense wash. Your choice, what program you choose, accordingly your dishes will be washed. For now, we press in the button of 1 month. 1 month, no devil box. 1 month, no smoking. 1 month, no illicit relation. 1 month, no evil. That's the program we punched in. So the system is running for 1 month. It's about time we punch till death and the system will run till death. That's what we have to do. How will I appear before Allah? He said, a person who has, I was mentioning that quotation, a person who lives his whole month like how he lives in Ramadan, the angel of death will come to him with the same joy with which he receives the crescent and the moon of Eid. The one who loves his month like Ramadan, when the month has ended, and how, what is the excitement and the anticipation and the anxiety for the moon of Eid, and there is a buzz and there's an electric atmosphere, and you debate and you fasted 29, but you're trying hard to end it there. You know, come what may, if you can bring that moon down physically, you'll do. And there is this electric buzz in the air, and you receive this moon with joy, with excitement, with an air of happiness and jubilation. If you live your entire life like you spend Ramadan, you will receive the angel of death with the same jubilation with which you receive the crescent of Shawwal in the moon of Eid. So how would you appear before Allah? أَمَّا الْمُحْسِنْ فَكَالْغَائِبِ يَقْدَمُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. A man who nourished his soul, he will appear before Allah like a person returning to his family after a travel. وَأَمَّا الْمُسِيءُ فَكَالْعَبْدِ الْآبِقِ يُسَاقُ إِلَىٰ مَوْلَاهُ سَوْقًا. And with regards to a wicked man who neglected his soul, who abandoned his soul, who only worried about his physical body. You know, they say, what's the difference in a newlywed couple and a couple that has aged? If you walk into the room and you see there's a cough mixture there, then you see big spectacles, cough mixture, bandage, ointment, then you must know, nearly dead. If you walk into the room, there is fragrance, there is deodorants, there is latest sunglasses, then it's newlywed. That's the reflection of newlywed, nearly dead. Newlywed, nearly dead. So what has the newlywed got? Everything to do the external body up. And the marketing world, the cosmetic world is thriving. I read an article, Two industries never dip. One is the cosmetic industry. It never takes a drop. It never declines. Why? Because people are so figure conscious. Way back I read an article and I've quoted it in my lectures. A survey was conducted in Western Australia on girls at the age of 8. They were figure conscious. Girls at the age of 8 said, we're not happy with our figure. We're not slim. I mean, at the age of 8, you don't even understand the parameters of gender properly. As children, we're playing on rooftops and running around and girls are playing mummy, mummy. Today's modern world has brought a girl at the age of 8 conscious of her figure. And then we want to talk with a forked tongue and we want to play with terminologies. As I was flying in here from London, I was there for some programs. So routinely I pick up the paper and just, you know, browse through it. So again, playing with terminologies. They say in the UK now, people mention, generally, I don't mind if you tell me I am obese. It sounds like a medical condition, you know, because nowadays, any problem you have, you just add the word symptom to it and it's a medical condition. Any problem you have, put the word symptom and then it's some medical condition. So if somebody calls me obese, this was the whole write-up, I don't have a problem. But if somebody calls me fat, I take offense. It's derogatory, it's inflammatory, it's harsh, it's abrupt. So now they're considering using the word fat more openly than obese so that it halts the junk food industry. It puts people under pressure. It puts people under the spotlight that, you know what, society is now magnifying them. You're a fat man. Because obese sounds like a medical condition. You know what, he's got bipolar. He's got a medical condition, brother. Oh, okay. He's got a dual personality. Oh, sorry. By the way, they've just diagnosed a condition. Okay, what does it mean? Whatever it is. But he's so naughty. He's so, no, he has ODD. You know what? He has this deficiency or he doesn't have a concentration span or whatever it is. So anyway, they are now considering the need to use the word fat more common so it would compare. I said, like, are we playing with words? What a world we are living in. What a world we are living in. You know, I sometimes don't. Now imagine a girl at the age of 8 is super conscious of her figure, her external body. The entire effort is my external look, my appearance. I often have said this, and my elder brother, may Allah reward him, he always has a laugh at this particular take of mine. In my humble travels, wherever Allah has taken me, you're obviously sitting in the plane, and whether you consciously observe or not, things that happen in your environment somehow does appear before you. How often, you know, just when the head steward makes the announcement that we have commenced our decline and please return to your seat and we'll be collecting your blankets and your headphones and keep your seat in an upright position, clear the aisles and lift your shutters and you know what, don't use your mobile phones till we touch down and we welcome. You find generally now everybody is like dressing up and dolling up. And then how often I have like this elderly old woman here, wrinkled and crinkled, you know, a good 75, and she's like, her hand shaking and taking out that lipstick. I'm like, I doubt anybody's going to be looking, sister, but that's the cosmetic world. And it pains me within. I said, my Lord, what a world. And you've seen her battling to get her hand into that, oh, thank you, my son, that was so kind of you. And then she takes it out. Oh my Allah, what has happened to my soul? What has happened to my soul? Don't you want to ya? Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. How many sahaba I read on Ibn Abbas, I read on Sayyid Ibn Jubair, I read on many people that when their body was been taken to the grave, suddenly a note is dropped on the grave. And in that this ayah is written, oh the well-nourished soul, oh the prime soul, oh the contented soul, it's time we reward you. Go, Jannat awaits you. That's what we want to hear, my brother. So what did he say for the wicked person? فَكَلْ عَبْدِ الْآبِقِ يُسَاقُ إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ سَوْقًا. For the wicked person, it is like a slave who has eloped from his master and he's been returned back to his master. He ran away, he has fled, he has eloped. So he's coming under a cloud of suspicion. His circumstances are not conducive. The situation around him is not pleasant because he eloped. So he's been hurled back, he's been driven back. That is the very condition of a person who has disobeyed Allah. When he said this, فَبَكَ الْخَلِيفَةُ حَتَّى عَلَى نَحِيبُهُ وَاشْتَدَّ بُكَاءُهُ, the Khalifa started crying and sobbing profusely. Then he said, يَا أَبَا حَازِمْ مَا السَّبِيلُ إِلَىٰ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ كَيْفَ لَنَا أَن نَسْلُحْ. Okay, you said all this here. How do I get myself in order? How do I develop? And how do I nourish the soul? He said, do me two things. تَدَعُونَ عَنْكُمُ الصَّلَفَ وَتَتَحَلَّوْنَ بِالْمُرُوءَ. Abandon arrogance and adopt humility. Aisha radiallahu anha said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَغْفُلُونَ أَنْ أَفْضَلِ الْعِبَادَةِ وَهِيَ التَّوَاضُعُ. O people, very strange, you have become oblivious of the greatest of worship, and that is humility. The greatest of worship, you have become oblivious of it, and that is humility. I said, وَهَذَا الْمَالِ مَسَّبِيلُ إِلَىٰ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. This wealth, there are so many challenges, there are so many turns, there are so many twists in wealth. How can I juggle myself in a manner to secure a good livelihood and at the same time not infringe on my religious values? He said, إِذَا أَخَذْتُمُوهُ بِحَقِّهِ وَوَضَعْتُمُوهُ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَقَسَمْتُمُوهُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ وَعَدَلْتُمْ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الرَّعِيَّةِ. If you take the money lawfully, lawfully. Ibn Abbas said, to earn halal is more difficult than moving a mountain. Kasbul halal ashaddu min naqli al-jabal. Provided you understand the parameters of halal, I'm not going into details. إِذَا أَخَذْتُمُوهُ بِحَقِّهِ وَوَضَعْتُمُوهُ فِي أَهْلِهِ, and you discharge it in the correct places. وَقَسَمْتُمُوهُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ, and you distribute it fairly. وَعَدَلْتُمْ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الرَّعِيَّةِ, and you maintain justice between your people, then you would be absorbed of the obligation of wealth. I said, Ya Aba Hazim, man afdalu nas? Who is the greatest human? He said, obviously the one who takes care of his soul. Ulul muru'ati wattuqa, the one who nourish, beautify and adorn their soul with piety and taqwa. The one who beautify their soul with piety and taqwa. I said, Abu Hazim, ma afdalu al-qawl? Which is the best word? He said, kalimatu haqqin. عند من كلمة حق يقولها المرء عند من يرجوه وعند من يخافه. To utter the truth in the presence of someone you are either hopeful of or afraid. Unfortunately, when we know there is a job to secure or there is a proposal, you want to get married somewhere, now suddenly you have this glamorous picture of yourself and suddenly you're the ideal boy. And you're a good person and you want to camouflage it and you really want to give this very good personality of yourself. And unfortunately, that is the problem. And I've said to many a couples, you know what? You're dating, you're courting under the pretext of knowing one another. For the record, sometimes 10 years pass and you still don't know your wife properly. So, for the record, you're not going to know her in 3 weeks. By the way, that which she is reflecting to you, or you revealing to her, is a fake reflection. You literally living up to expectations. You on guard. So at this moment, you are doing exactly what she wants, and she's doing what you want, because you want one another. And you enter the relation on the pretext that, oh, he's such a sweet person. He calls my father daddy, and he's so obliging. Oh, he's such a charming person. He's charming now, my sister. After that charming goes into thin air. Forget about that charming. So this is a supernatural, a very hypocritical reflection. Why? You are putting this act up because you want that woman. What is the best statement? To say it as it is. No hiding, no camouflaging, no distorting. Say it as it is. Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he went to propose, he said, Ana Bilalun wa hadha akhi. Uncle, I want to propose to your daughter. My name is Bilal and this is my brother. My CV is as follows. Abdani min al-Habsha. I am an African Abyssinian slave. That's my CV. What's my CV? I am an African slave. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he could have said, I'm the muazzin of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could have said, the Nabi of Allah said, Mali asma'u daffana alayka wa ra'if al Jannah. Bilal, I heard your footsteps behind me in Jannah. He didn't ask Allah's Nabi, put a word in, just say that again. What you said, O Nabi of Allah, I'm a Jannati. Okay, can you just write it down? Maybe I can just forward it to the girls' party before they make a choice in considering my proposal. Abadani min al-Habsha. We are Abyssinian slaves. Kunna dhalin fahadana Allah. We were astray, Allah guided us. Wa kunna abdain fa'ataqana Allah. And we were slaves, myself and my brother, Allah liberated us. In tunkihuna falhamdulillah. If you give me the hand of your daughter, alhamdulillah. Wa in tamna'una fallahu akbar. And if you refuse, my Allah is sufficient. My Allah is sufficient. I've got nothing to put an act before you. I'm dealing with my Allah. A verse of the 24th juz. فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ وَأُفَوِّذُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأُفَوِّذُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ A believer is one. I do what I have to do. I hand my matters to my Allah. He takes care. He is in charge and he makes decisions. Then I asked him, مَا أَسْرَعُ الدُّعَاءِ إِجَابَةً Whose prayer is most readily accepted? He said, Dua ul Muhsin lil Muhsineen, the dua of the pious on behalf of the righteous. Today, unfortunately, it is the dua of the wicked on behalf of the sinful. The person asking is sinful, the man making the dua is wicked. So hence we see what is happening. I said, Ma afdalus sadaqa, which is the greatest form of charity. He said, Juhdul Muqil, Yadahu min yadil ba'isil faqir, min ghayri an yatba'ahu mannun wala adha. These are ways of developing your soul, my brother. You know, when you come out of the clinic, then they give you medication. And we are so conscious of our physical health, we go to the doctor. Can I have dairy products? Is this okay? He hasn't told you anything. We take the liberty of asking him, what would harm me? What would give me ulcer? What would give me cancer? What would have long-term side effects? We go to him. Ya, the Nabi of Allah has given us the do's and the don'ts. We openly violate it. He told us these are the no-goes. These are red zones. Don't trespass these boundaries. We transcend it. We ignore it. So when you leave, they tell you, you must exercise so much, eat in moderation, make sure you take your tablets, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. These are manners in how we can develop the soul. Every day give little charity. Every day make an effort to speak the truth. Make sure pride is coming out of me. Humility is coming into my life. In this way, I'm remodeling, I'm reshaping my soul. But it's going to take long time, my brother. What happened? How's he? Is he out of ICU? Look here, he is critical but stable. Critical but stable. But doctors say, look here, it's going to be a long time before he walks. He'll need physio, he'll need therapy. Then he has to go to a speech therapist to teach him how to speak again. He had a stroke, now you have to teach him how to speak again. He cannot hear, there's an audiologist coming home. Somebody to help him, to hear, to do this, to activate, to revive this. It's a long process. My brother, whatever your age is, that is how long that soul has been neglected. That is how long that soul has been malnourished. Occasionally you gave it a lecture like this. Occasionally you gave it a Friday prayer. Occasionally you gave it a Yasin in the morning. But overall, how much can that do? If I get on the treadmill for 15 minutes and then I weigh myself after that, nothing's going to happen in 15 minutes. You know, they say the typical American mentality to drop the levels of obesity. Can I have a double cheesy burger and a Diet Coke? Sorry, I'll have a Diet Coke, please. A double cheesy burger, I'll have a Diet Coke. Oh man, who are you fooling? Get into the real world. What's your Diet Coke going to do when you have how many calories in that one slice of cheese and the bread and this and that? It's a world of psychological appeasing. We're playing mind games. We are playing mind games. That's what we're doing. Playing around. And then you're on this program and that program and this diet program and that diet program, and just continues and continues. Man ahzamu an-nas, ya Aba Hazim, who is the most intelligent person? Rajulun dhafira bi ta'ati Allahi azza wa jal fa'amila biha thumma dalla an-nasa 'alayha. A man who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nourishes his soul, and then starts nourishing the souls of others. Man ahmaqu an-nas, who is the most foolish person? One who destroys his soul for the luxury of an next man. What did he say? One who destroys his soul for the luxury. One is, you destroyed your soul for your own body. I'm not justifying it, we can argue it. But this is the pinnacle of misfortune. You destroy your soul. So he's going to do wrong and he tells you, join me. He's going to a club, he's going to a casino, he's going to do something haram. You are an accomplice to an evil. For him to do the wrong, you're destroying your soul. Now, you will know medically, they say passive smokers are at a greater risk than many a times active smokers. So a woman living with a smoker, children living with a smoker, they are also at times double susceptible to have lung cancer and all the other things, because they are living in the environment. Their health is being destroyed for the fancy of someone else, for the luxury of someone else. Remember the evil, if I allow it to come in my house, if I allow pornography in my home, I allow immorality in my home, to appease my son, to satisfy my daughter, to impress someone else at the cost of destroying my soul, then Abu Hazim says, the planet Earth has never seen someone more wicked than I. رَجُلٌ إِنْ سَاقَ مَعَ هَوَى صَاحِبِهِ وَصَاحِبُهُ ظَالِمٌ فَبَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَا غَيْرِهِ. I said to him, Abu Hazim, what profound pronouncements you are making. هَلْ لَكَ أَنْ تَسْحَبَنَا فَتُصِيبَ مِنَّا وَنُصِيبَ مِنْكَ. You want to stay here more so I can treat my soul even more and more? So Abu Hazim said, كَلَّا. No, I'm not going to stay here longer than this meeting. So I said, why? He said, my soul is being affected negatively by your presence. And I am not prepared to compromise the harm on my soul for the sake of yours. When the doctor comes to treat you, then obviously he has a mask. He has to protect himself, he has to insulate himself, he has to fortify himself. At the cost of treating the patient, I cannot compromise my health. Then it defeats the essence, you discharge and I'm admitted. فَتُصِيبَ مِنَّا وَنُصِيبَ مِنْكَ. I'm not going to stay here. Your soul is getting empowered, but my soul, I can feel the current come in my way. So he said, okay, make a request and it's fulfilled. These are the pious, my brother. These are the pious. Sometimes I sit and I cry to Allah, oh my Allah, give me a fraction of their aspirations. Oh my Allah, give me a fraction of their ambitions and their visions. Make a request. So he spun drop silence. So Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik said, make a request, mahma kanat naqdiha lak. Whatever the request is, I promise you I will honor it. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik says it, Abu Hazim is silent. He says it for the third time, I'm asking you, Abu Hazim, tell me what you want and I promise you I will do it. So Abu Hazim looks at him and said, hajati an tudkhilani al-jannah wa tunqidhani minan nar. My request is one, get my soul into paradise and save it from hell. So he's speechless. He said, Your Excellency, that's outside my jurisdiction. Your Excellency, that's outside my jurisdiction. Laysa dhalika min sha'ni. So Abu Hazim said, Ma lana min hajatin siwaha. Then this is a futile discussion. My request is outside your jurisdiction and I have no other request. I have no other aspiration. You see my heart, I have one request. The soul needs to get into paradise. I don't have any other request. Mali min hajatin siwaha. He turned the spin and the focus. He said, Sulaiman. Sulaiman said to Abu Hazim, okay, make dua for me that Allah must give me jannat. So Abu Hazim lifted his hands and he said, Allahumma in kana abduka Sulaiman min awliyaik, fayassirhu ila khayra yid dunya wal akhirah. وإن كان من أعدائك فأصلحه وهده إلى ما تحب وترضى. They were not afraid, they only feared Allah. Oh Allah, if this man is amongst your friends, then guide him to the goodness of both the worlds. And if he is amongst your enemies, then reform him and let him repent before he dies. Openly in his presence, if he is your enemy, reform him. One brother took me to his plant in California, in San Francisco. He said, Sheikh, I would like you to come and pray. Just make a dua. So I went there. He said, please, I bought this. It's so many acres. I want to develop it. I would like your prayers. I said, have you bought this with cash or is this through interest money? He said, no, Sheikh, I'm afraid it's interest money. I said, then what dua do I make for you? The hadith says you are at war with Allah. The Quran says you are at war with Allah. And you want me to undo the curse of Allah by my dua? I cannot. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. If you do not abandon it, then Allah announces war. And if you repent, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, then walk away with your capital investment. لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ, don't abuse and don't suffer exploitation. What prayer must I make when the curse of Allah is there? So someone nudged him and said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتَ فَقَدْ جَعَلْتَ خَلِيفَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ وَآذَيْتَ. But that was very insensitive on your part. In the presence of the Khalifa, in the court of the Khalifa, you referred to him as a criminal and as an evil person and as the enemy of Allah. He said, was I evil or were you evil? Allah has taken the pledge from the ulama, they must articulate the truth wherever they stand. فَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ كَلِمَةَ الْحَقِّ. This is the pledge that rests on the shoulders of every scholar. لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. That you will pronounce the truth wherever you are. Anyway, Abu Hazim said, your words are profound. Tell me more, tell me more. I need to nourish my soul even more. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik tells Abu Hazim. So Abu Hazim said, إِن كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ فَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكَ مَا فِيهِ الْكِفَايَةِ. I'm going to draw it to a close and reflect over these words. إِن كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ فَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكَ مَا فِيهِ الْكِفَايَةِ وَإِن لَمْ تَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا فَمَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ أَرْمِيَ عَنْ قَوْسٍ لَيْسَ لَهَا وَتْرٌ. If you are a person and you people are a nation who complies, then what has been told to you is sufficient. If you are a man that heeds, then what has been told to you is adequate. And if you are not a person who complies, then why should I release my arrow when it's not striking target? What profound words. إِن كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ فَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكَ مَا فِيهِ الْكِفَايَةِ. If you are a man who internalizes, then sufficient has been said. And if you are not a person who imbibes and internalizes, then I am losing arrow upon arrow, and I'm not hitting target. If you look at the lives of the Sahaba, often they would come and say, O Prophet of Allah, give me advice, make it short. The face value of this sounds so abrupt. You are asking for advice and you're restricting the Nabi of Allah to time also. But Sahaba meant well. O Nabi of Allah, make it brief so immediately I can internalize it. Versus us, Morana, the night is young. Go for it. I didn't even feel the hour. But next day, Fajr, you didn't even feel the bayan. Gone. So what did he say? If you comply, then enough has been said. I said, Abu Hazim, we had a lengthy dialogue. Wrap it up for me. Give me the synopsis. Give me a summary of what was said. He said, عَذِّمْ رَبَّكَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَنَزِّهُ أَنْ يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ وَأَنْ يَفْقِدَكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ. Glorify your Lord. Let him never find you in a venue that he has prohibited you from entering. Let him never find you in a venue that he has prohibited you from. Think before you enter a club, my brother. Think before you dine with a strange woman, my brother. Think before you sign a fraudulent deal, my brother. If the angel of death knocks your door at that moment, how would you face your creator? نَزِّهُ أَنْ يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ وَأَنْ يَفْقِدَكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ. And let it not be that your Allah does not find you where He has commanded you. Meaning visiting and frequenting the places of worship, the places of piety, the feet of the scholars, the places where we energize and we motivate and we nourish our soul. ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ وَانْصَرَفَ قَائِمًا. He said, Assalamu alaikum, terminated and ended the discussion. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik stood up from the rear. He said, Jazakallahu khayran min alimin nasihin. May Allah bless you for the pearls of wisdom. What profound words that these words continue to us till today. So these are my humble sentiments. We have one more lecture to go tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we capitalize on this great moment that is soon to dawn upon us. And may He give us the ability that we are amongst those people who maximize from this blessed month. And we can be amongst those people whose souls will be granted deliverance from the fire before the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina azab an-nar. اللهم تقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتقبل منا صالح أعمالنا وجعلنا من المقبولين في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النيران. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.